Well, good morning again. We have officially ended our holiday season, and we're into our second week of the new year. And by now, if not most of, probably all, if not most of the Christmas decorations have been put away for another year. And we find ourselves in the cold reality of winter with a few months ahead of us till spring. And we are a people that like something to look forward to. We like that. And for the vast majority of us, that would now be spring. We're in this little section of the wintertime. And in Northeast Ohio, we have four clearly defined seasons. There's no question about the season. We have the hottest of the hot and coldest of the cold. And each season brings with it different activities and different things to prepare for, depending on where we find ourselves. And over the years, I've noticed in my life and in a lot of your lives as well that we have our personal seasons as well. We have our seasons in our walk with God as well. If I survey my walk with Christ, I recognize that at times I've had seasons of personal growth, either through deep study or just being in God's Word. And I've had seasons of a renewed sense of God's presence in my life. I've had some seasons in my life where I felt a deep awareness of His presence. And it was that's probably my favorite season, when I just have this sense of His presence. I've had seasons where God's called me into deep praise and prayer. And obviously, I think we should pray every day, and I do. And I think there are some that are called to be intercessors that love to pray. People ask me, how much do you pray? And it's always not enough. Should pray more. But I've had seasons where God's called me into prayer, and other seasons where I'm just kind of functioning in prayer. And I have had dry seasons as well. Seasons where you're just kind of floating, hitting a plateau. Anybody relate to that at times? You know, you're just kind of there, and you're just struggling maybe in your walk a little bit, or maybe not even struggling, but just kind of dry. And so we all have these different seasons in a walk with God, and I think it's just part of life in Christ, and maybe even part of God's plan in our lives. I think some of the seasons are self-inflicted, things we have in our life or don't have in our life, and I think God uses those seasons, maybe even at times create those seasons. You know, if you think of a dry season, I think if I'm dry and I'm thirsty, you know, if we're really thirsty doing something, we'll go out of our way to get something to drink, won't we? If you're going down a road and you're thirsty, you'll stop. You'll find some place to get something to drink. And if you're really thirsty for God, hopefully you quench that thirst in Christ and not in some other thing that we try to do to quench this dryness we're feeling. But our goal, I think, should be recognize the seasons, work through them, change them if need be, and avoid the roller coaster in our walk with God, the yo-yo effect. You know, doing really good 1 minute, and the next minute we're just kind of down, down, down. And then maybe we're kind of on a plateau, and then we do really good. And so I think we're going to have these seasons, but, you know, we like to kind of level them out so they're not so drastic. And to be sure, there will be times that God, through His grace, I believe, will bring a great season of growth in your life. Rejoice when He does that. The remainder of times, growing in God is our responsibility and our privilege. And the same way, like when we experience the different seasons of weather, we often have things to do to prepare for them. We may have our furnace cleaned and checked in the beginning of winter, have a tune-up on our car if we're going on vacation, and it's wise as well to do a checkup in the seasons of our life and our Christianity. Call it this morning a winter tune-up, if you will, in our personal life. If you take your car into a shop for repairs, a mechanic has a manual, will list all the correct specifications for that particular car and that specific engine. And he looks at that manual and he says, this is what this car was designed to do. And so he puts the car into those specifications. And if we're going to do a spiritual checkup, we should look into God's manual this morning. Amen? The Word of God. And I think 1 John is a really good place to start. And we're going to kind of jump in here at 1 John 2:20 in the middle contextually of what's happening around here, but we're going to jump in here for just a moment. And 1 John 2:20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Now, God's Word is our, as I said, our spiritual manual, and it is truth and truth to live by. Truth to live by in a world where there is a lot of deception. We live in a world that is much deception, and daily we are subjected to deception that is declared to be truth. And so we have to be able to understand that and discern that. And the Scripture says that you're anointed by God to know the truth. King James says you have an unction from the Holy One. This anointing of God. And it's the Holy Spirit for your life that anoints you with the ability to know the truth and discern the difference between deception and truth. And in times past, we've looked at this whole subject of anointing and what it means. And the word anointing, you know, one of the best ways to describe it, what the word literally means, is like a smearing of grease. And it's to help us understand the smearing of oil, that it's this tangible presence of God in your life. And so when we think of anointing, we think, well, hopefully the pastor's anointed or the worship team's anointed. We all kind of want that, you know, and I pray and seek God for his anointing. But Scripture is telling here that each of you this morning that proclaim Christ as Lord have an anointing in your life. And I think you'll be anointed in several areas as you're called to minister God's grace in your life. But this says you have an anointing, an unction from the Holy One to know the truth. As I said, the ability to know the truth and discern the difference between deception and truth. And this knowledge of truth bears fruit in your reading, certainly of the Word, and your hearing of the Word, and in your daily walk with Christ. This knowledge of truth in your life is very important. We'll see in a moment. The context of this statement here in 1 John is surrounded with scriptures that declare that first of all, that you know that Jesus is the Christ. You know that personally. You have a relationship with Christ, and you have the privilege of fellowship with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and intimacy with Christ and the Father. And continues on contextually that there are false teachers and antichrist that lie and proclaim the opposite. So I don't want to stretch what the scripture is saying here, but this understanding of knowing the truth we'll see can be applied in very specific ways in our life. But just in that particular time with the antichrist and the liars and the false prophets, John was writing and saying, you know better. You don't have to be deceived. And the Holy Spirit brings in his ability, his anointing in your life, to know the difference and to discern the truth from a lie, regardless of how much the lie seems to be the truth. I don't know about you, but I've been subjected to that. Sometimes some certain movement will come along or somebody will come along with some teaching, and it sounds so good. But if you really look at it and really study it, it's not the truth. And so that's part of what's happening is as you know, people in Christ, that you should know the truth in the Word of God, and you should be able to discern what's truth and not truth. And it also means, I believe, that you will know and discern the truth of your relationship with God. It starts with knowing you're saved and that God loves you. And if we just understood that this morning, we could go home happy, couldn't we? That if we've accepted Christ, we're going to heaven, we're filled with his grace, and guess what? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's a good message right there. But we also know the devil will at times try to deceive you and sell you a bill of goods. He will bring condemnation, low self-esteem into your life, accusing you of all sorts of things. I kind of sense that this morning, not in my life personally, but as we were singing I Am Redeemed, it took me back to what God took me from and all the lies of the enemy. And I thought, what a grace in all of our lives. I love that song as we're learning it. It says that we can understand where God has changed us, where he's taken us from. We no longer have to believe the lies. And the enemy's so good at bringing this deception into our lives and bringing condemnation into our lives and bringing low self-esteem into our lives and pain in our lives. And we get caught up in that. And God's telling you this morning that you can know the truth to discern the difference. Scripture in Revelation calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. He's very proficient at it. The good news is that you do not have to be deceived. You don't have to listen to lies of the devil. You can know the truth regarding Scripture, regarding the truth of the Word of God, and I believe regarding your walk with God as well, where you're at in your walk with God. You can walk securely with God knowing that he loves you, he's pulling for you, and he'll never give up on you. So as I said, the Bible makes it clear the devil will try to deceive you, and I want you to know that there's another person besides the devil that will try to deceive you, and you really have to watch out for. And this one's a little tricky. So you really got to watch this person, and you'll recognize this person every time you look in the mirror. Don't lie to yourself. Be honest about where you're at with your walk with God, what's happening in your life personally, and where you're at with your intimacy with God, with this depth of knowing his presence. After all, when you begin to lie to yourself about your walk with God, who are you kidding? God? I have found in all the years I've served him, I've never been able to fool him yet. How's it working for you guys? You know? I mean, you know, he knows. He just knows. He's God. So who are we kidding? So my life, I find it's best just to say, Lord, this is where I'm at. I feel dry. I feel upset. I'm angry. I feel whatever. I'm not really living like I should in my thought life. All those things that we can struggle with as people and say, Lord, I desperately need you. Just to be honest, because he knows it before we do, right? So don't lie to yourself. But we'll look a little bit at 1 John this morning, and John as well, and we'll see some wonderful truths in the Word of God. We'll pick this up in 1 John 5 through 7. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I want to consider what this scripture is saying to us this morning. If we walk in the same light that God is in, there is a wonderful process that happens to us. And stop for just a minute and think about that. The scripture is saying that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And so God walks with no darkness. He is pure light. And you can walk in that light. And I don't know about you, but I think that's good news too. We can walk in the light. And so we have this promise that if we walk in the light that God is in, there's this wonderful process that happens. When you walk with God in his light, the light exposes the darkness in our lives. God reveals the things in our life that are not of God. And we have this wonderful opportunity then to look at that. And we see these blemishes in our lives, these things that take us away from God. God reveals those things that just don't belong to him. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I mean, this is telling us, if you will, that you come to God as you are, and you walk in your relationship with him where you're at. And when you're stumbling or you're falling or the enemy's been beating you up or you're beating yourself up or all these things aren't as they should be, God is saying the very best place for you to take that ugly mess is into my light. And boy, we do just the opposite. You know, it talks about darkness not liking light. And when we're struggling, we just want to back away from that light, don't we? And we start to back away maybe even from church or all those things in our life. And that's when we get drier rather than going to light. And he's saying there's a process here. And when you're walking in the light, these things are revealed. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, then cleanses you as in this process because you bring it to him. And this walking in God's light is understood as a daily process. Walking is moving forward, having a forward motion. It means you're walking in your life. The things that you're doing is not just this point in your life on a Sunday or a Wednesday. It's every part of your life. In fact, if we're looking at our spiritual checkup, if all you have in your life is Sunday morning with God, maybe a Wednesday night study with God, maybe even an occasional Sunday morning with God, I proclaim to you this morning, you don't have a very deep walk with God. And that may hurt you, and I may be offending you, and my point is not to offend you, but let's be honest about it. If that's where our walk with God is, we've got some work to do, don't we? Because I think all of us here in the presence of God, we've joined. God says when we gather in the name of his son, he's there in our presence, and we have gathered this morning, we are in God's presence, and in his presence, I think we'd all want to say, I want a better walk with God, no matter where we're at. And so there's this daily, this whole understanding of the Word of God is that God is not just a Sunday morning God. That's a daily walk with everything that you do, your work and your relationships and everything you have in your life. As we walk with God, his truth exposes sin in our lives, and because we have fellowship with him, when we turn to him, he purifies us, cleanses us, and draws us closer to him. And I want you to notice the recognition of the ability to lie to ourselves. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You know, I love the fact that God always knows right where you are in your walk with him. I have shared this illustration many times, and maybe it's the one that just speaks the most to me. I thought I might even share it just recently, but this was years ago. And I was helping my daughter. She was going back to Florida, and she had the real little kids, and she'd come up, and I said, I'll go back with you. I don't remember all the details. So I drove her back to Florida with the little kids. And it was a Sunday morning. I've shared it. It was a Sunday morning. We got up at the hotel room. We took an overnight stay, and we're sitting in a little restaurant, getting ready to go follow our trip, have breakfast, and head out. You know, I'm there in shorts and a shirt. You know, it's down in the south warm. And as we're leaving, there was this group of ladies there, and this one lady looked at me and she said, I'm walking by, and she goes, excuse me. I said, yeah. And she goes, you're a pastor, aren't you? Well, if I'm in shorts and a T-shirt Sunday morning, I'm supposed to be in church, you know? And I said, how do you know that? I said, yeah, I am. Well, the Lord told me. I looked over at you. You know, and it just spoke to me that no matter where we're at and what we're doing, guess what? And I didn't see it as, I'm watching you, buddy. You know, I mean, that might be how you feel sometimes. I got my eye on you, but I saw it as God says, I know what you're doing, and I'm okay. I'm with you. I've never left you. And I took it as encouragement. But it just, you know, if we say that we have fellowship, then we walk in darkness, we lie. And when we're off base, God reveals it in his glorious light, and he draws us back in the right relationship with him. In a very real way, and this is in the first chapter. In the second chapter, a similar thought is carried forward in verse 1 of chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. For he himself is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, that means, for our sins. And not only for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. I write these things to you, my beloved, my little children, so you may not sin. However, if you sin, you have an advocate, one that comes along your side with the Father, Christ the righteous. I love that. He's saying, you're not supposed to sin, but when you sin, we've got an answer for that. And not just a, you know, cloak a little, oh, it's not a problem. It's like, I'm here to help you with that. And he goes on, now by this we know that we know him. This is how we know that we know. If we keep his commandments. Now the Amplified Bible, which I want to express to you this morning, it's a great Bible, but it's really more of a commentary than a Bible, and that's just me being... what's the word? I don't know. I just got to teach you perfectionist, whatever. But just so you know, I don't have any problem with the Amplified Bible, but it's basically commentary. And at times, very helpful. But this is how 1 John 2:3 in the Amplified says, and this is how we may discern daily by experience that we are coming to know him, to perceive, to recognize, to understand, and become better acquainted with him. If we keep, bear in mind, observe and practice his teachings, his precepts, and his commandments. And it's speaking of a growing intimacy, a real personal involved relationship with Christ. Notice the process. Amplified says, and some other translations do similar things, coming to know him. It's not an understanding of someday I'm going to really get saved. It's an understanding of I'm saved, I accepted Christ, and now I am coming to know who he is in a greater fashion. In a greater way. And what's happening here is the closer we draw to Christ, the more obedient to Scripture we become. And regardless of where you are in your walk, when you're honest with God, you know where you're at. And so we look at 1 John 2:4-6. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Some translations say, completed. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. That's some pretty strong words, huh? You know, it's kind of right there, boom, in your face. And if we're looking at keeping his commandments, just to help you out, because I know that how you folks are, we all like our little list. I did a little research. And in the New Testament, there is 1,050 commands. Now, those that pull these things apart, look at it and say, well, some are kind of repetitious or mean similar things, so they put them under 800 headings. So we have 800 headings and 1,050 commands in the New Testament, and the Bible says, if we don't keep his commandments, we're a liar. Now, if we got 1,050 commands and 800 headings, how you doing so far? You know? How you doing? It's like, what's happening with this here? I mean, if I put up a list behind us of those 800 commands, who would get 100%? And if we were in the Old Testament, we'd say, if we didn't have 100%, we're done. We didn't keep the law. We're worms. So what does it mean? And does it say, is in verse 4 that we're liars with the truth not in them? Well, we'd be feeling a little condemned. Maybe we are feeling condemned. But thankfully, the New Testament is not all that legalistic. You know, it did away with the law. It doesn't mean we have a license to sin, but it's not that legalistic. John is talking about commandments in general. Christianity is not a form of legalism. Christianity is that personal relationship, and it's like, are you doing what God is calling you to do now? And when you've caught yourself in sin, are you in that light? So when you see it, it's revealed to you, because light exposes darkness. Light exposes blemishes. Are you quick to go back to God? Light always exposes. You ever see one of these makeup, you know, professional makeup things you see on TV? Man, they're surrounded with lights, right? Why? Because it exposes every blemish. And that's really the understanding here. When we get in that light of God, it's going to happen. And so it's not legalism. Christians may not live in sin continually, but a Christian is not sinless. And so we're going to work through what John is trying to teach us here. So 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this whole surrounding thing of John here in 1 John is not contradictory. The New Testament, as I said, is not a statement of legalism, but rather relationship. It's an issue of the heart. And so while it's not a statement of legalism, it's also not a license to sin. And so it reels with it. It says, you know, as a believer, you shouldn't be walking in sin. You shouldn't have all this continual sin in your life. And if you're saying you're doing great and you're really not, you're lying to yourself. But it also acknowledges that you're going to have times in your life that you're going to sin. There is a man who would say, I know him, and yet ignore God's commands altogether, and the scripture says the truth is not in him. I don't care what he says, what he confesses, if he's not living somehow for God at all and disobeying all of his commands, the truth's not in him. But I want you to watch this wonderful contrast in John chapter 2, 1 John. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know we are in him. Two people, one in verse 4 and one in verse 5. The man in verse 4 is called a liar and the truth is not in him. All those you're lying, get over here in this line. Line up. Whoever keeps his word, the man in verse 5, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Meaning Christ's word. Whoever keeps the word of God, the love of God is completed, perfected in him. That's the line I want to get in. How about you? One in whom there is no truth at all versus one whose God's love is perfected, made complete in him. And the word here for perfected, and some translations say complete, means to complete, to consummate in character, to finish, to fulfill, and to make perfect. It's a process. And it's both a maturity in your walk with Christ and intimacy in your relationship with him. And verse 6 tells us how this is revealed in our lives. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We are not perfect, but our goal, our aim is to become and behave more Christ-like. And that's on a daily basis, this walking. Doesn't mean tomorrow morning we get up and go, oh man, I'm so much more like Christ than I was yesterday. And then some of you, I'm hoping that would happen, you know, but we won't go there. But it really means that we should be growing. There are points in our life, there are processes in our life that we should be moving, this moving forward in God. And I want you to watch 1 John 5 and 7, and I'm going to pull this together with 1 John 2 and 6 and see what he's saying contextually here. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. The word comes on to that. Walk. What would Jesus do, right? Walk like Christ walked. You walk in the light as he is in the light. How do you define how Jesus walked? I'm going to ask you a couple this morning. Some of you this morning, talk back to me. If you said, I'm going to walk as Jesus walked. When we read his years here and he was on earth, how did he walk? Give me some examples. Where did he walk? Anybody? I mean, you got a clue. Anybody read the Gospels ever? Kath? What's that? He met with sinners. That's good. How about in his personal life? When he met with sinners, what else? Anybody? Humble. He walked humbly. He prayed. Loving. I didn't hear that. Merciful. Any others? Compassionate. I mean, we see all those things. All those, all true. And one of you kind of touched on it, and I'm not looking for just one specific answer, but we really would be able to say clearly that Jesus walked in love, wouldn't we? And all those things, the mercy of God, the humbleness of God, the compassion of God, all those things, the pureness of God, he walked in love and expressing those. If you walk in love, you will automatically fulfill all the commandments that God has in his word of God. Jesus said in John 15, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And how did Jesus love? Unconditionally, sacrificially, not selfishly, without thought for personal gain. Think about that. Walking in love. You will not sin walking in love. You will not slander somebody walking in love. You will not cheat somebody walking in love. You will not lie to somebody walking in love. You will not steal from someone walking in love. You will not hurt someone walking in love. Add the list. It just really kind of brings it all in a culmination, doesn't it? It makes it easier for us to get it, easier for us to understand, am I walking in love? Because I won't do these things. I'll fulfill the commands, not because it's a thing of do and don't. You know, the speed limit says 65, and I'm going to do 64 and a half. It doesn't mean that. It means, are you walking in love? Do you consider this person? How are you responding to that individual? Scripture says, you claim to be in him? Walk as Jesus did. In light, not darkness. In love, not hate. In forgiveness, not anger or resentment. John writes that we know that we love him when we see ourselves keeping his commandments. And as we do so, his love is completed in us, the work of his love in our hearts maturing us. Now, I don't have all those 1,050 commands down, but I can reflect and look back at my life and realize there were things in my life that I was doing that was destructive and I couldn't stop. I didn't know how to stop. I didn't even know how to want to stop. No matter how much it was hurting me or people around me. Things that I had in my life and my thoughts and my behavior were all there. And I know that when I accepted Christ, he took that from me. That doesn't mean that I've been sinless. You know what I'm saying with that. But it's this whole idea that I want to fulfill his commands. I want to be where he wants me to be. And when I'm in the light, I'm quick to see, man, I missed it there. And that's what he's saying. So John writes regarding walking in love. Brethren, and I want you to understand, this brethren here is sometimes translated my beloved. It's a word that means, as he's writing these people, he's writing about walk in love, and he's trying to express to them this word here that fails in English language. I want you to know I love you like this, so I'm not counting myself out. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you. Which thing is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Now, what's he really saying here? What's he saying is to walk in love, and for him to say that it's not all that new, it's been taught before. He taught it. And he's also saying, Deuteronomy says in a sense that it says to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Leviticus 19 said, love your neighbor as yourself. It wasn't a new thing. So John is saying in one sense that this is not new, but the next breath he says, a new commandment I write to you, and this thing is true in him and in you. How is it new? Because of Christ in you, you can now love as Jesus did. And you couldn't do that without Christ in you. In fact, it's a sign we know him and belong to him. So you've been told all along to walk in love, and you weren't doing all that good, but understand, with Christ in you, you can, because he enables you. It's a wonderful thing. He further writes that the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Really? And I don't doubt Scripture, but it seems to me there's plenty of darkness in this world. Matter of fact, it'd be hard to argue that darkness is not increasing. Amen? It says darkness is passing away and true light is already shining. And why did you write that? Because the true light is Jesus Christ. And he had come into the world when this was written. And he was already shining. And darkness is being destroyed. Jesus defeated darkness. He also defeated the darkness in your life when you asked him to come in your life. Darkness may be in this world. It may be increasing in its manifestation. Scripture is clear. Evil is going to increase in times. But Jesus is still the victor, and darkness will not prevail. And once Christ came in, the true light that gives light to every man, then John could say, you know what? The battle's finished. It's already happened. The darkness is here, but it's over with. It's starting to pass away. And this whole understanding of someday, far beyond what we can grasp in our own mind and understanding, the darkness is completely done away with. And we'll live on a new heaven and a new earth with no darkness, with no evil. Sign me up for that one too. Amen? And that's the whole process, what's happening here. And so all of this begins to shed more light on John chapter 1. What a beginning, lovely, beautiful scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, meaning Christ. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light shines in the darkness, but darkness did not comprehend it. Did not comprehend it really means not only just understand it, but could overcome it. The original language there. But it gets better. Jesus was written in John 8. Jesus said this. Jesus spoke to the given and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, have the light of life. Christ is the true light that's passing away. All darkness is done away with, if you will. It's defeated. Following him, you will never walk in darkness. Following Christ, you never walk in darkness. When you get your eyes off of Jesus, when we stop following him, that's where we get into darkness. 1 John 2:8 said, told us that the light of Christ is seen in him. I'm the light of the world. I'm given life. And it says, but it's seen in him and you. That's where we begin to reflect this light of Christ that's in our lives. That's where it's easier and God has enabled us to then walk in love. And that's when we're in this light and we begin to stumble and fall. He says, you're really not in darkness because the truth has been revealed to you. And that's the context of what John is saying here. Jesus is the truth and Jesus is the light. In him there is no darkness at all. And have fellowship with him is to walk in his light and walk in his love. And then he goes a step further back in 1 John. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. If you claim to be in the light, but have hatred in your heart. If you claim to be in the light and you've got resentment and unforgiveness, you're deceiving yourself. And the good news is in verse 10, who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. The person walking in hate's deceiving themselves. They're walking in darkness and have much cause to stumble. In In fact, the world says they're blinded and don't know where they're going. I don't want to walk around that area, do you? We stumble and we fall when our actions are not of love. We stumble and fall when our actions are self-centered. They become about us. When you submit all of your thoughts and all of your actions to the light of Christ, His light begins to reveal the truth to you. And then it says, remember this from the beginning, you have an anointing to know the truth. Wow, I love that. You are anointed by God. You've got this tangible presence by God to know where you're at in your walk with God, to discern the truth from a lie, to discern the rightness of Scripture, to know where you're at, and to not listen to the lie of the enemy, but use condemnation in your life, and to know that you were called because He loves you to walk in the same light that He is in, and He's pulling for you. He said, come on, I'm with you. And if you say you don't have any sin, guess what? You're lying, you got it. But when you got sin, I'm the one that's going to cleanse you, He says. And He said, I'm present with you, anointed you to discern that and know that. Becomes loving correction rather than destructive condemnation. And that's the grace of God. It's one of light of Christ in your life that molds you and corrects you and enables you to know the truth and be subjected to the truth. In fact, to love the truth and to be desired to be shaped by it. And maybe that's the whole summation of where we want to be. And when we've known Christ, we've come to that point, to love His word. Maybe we're not where we're following everything that we should be doing, but you know what? We desire to be there. To love His word, and Father, perfect that in me. Mold me and shape me. It's a whole lot better than stumbling around in the dark being deceived. I'd like the worship team to come forward this morning. 1 John 13:34 and following. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So what's a healthy spiritual checkup this morning? How much are you living in the light? How much are you being cleansed? How much are you being molded? How much are you walking in love? And the good news is God is always calling you upward. Regardless of where you find yourself this morning, understand there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If you're struggling and this is bringing great conviction to you, good. Because that conviction, it says, God says, bring it to me. And I will cleanse you, I will wash you, I will encourage you, I will set you in the right strand. He's always maturing, always drawing you close to Him. What a joy to know that light and love. Let's stand and worship our God this morning.